three for now, come back to it for the minutes.
Three more.
Do we have enough people?
Two, we've got three people and we need four, so yeah, so we hold that, we can always do it the next time.
All right, good afternoon. I'd like to call today's meeting of the IAC to order. Today's agenda was posted in accordance with Nevada open meeting law. Meeting is being recorded and is being held via Zoom and in person in the Aspen Building. When people comment, when public comments are taken, please start by stating your name and who you represent for the record. In the interest of time, I reserve the right to limit comments to 3 minutes per person and will respectfully interrupt if time is exceeded. If your comments have already been presented by someone else, please note that and do not repeat the information. I'd like to remind the IAC members that whenever you're speaking, always first identify yourself for the record. It's important that we correctly identify speakers and their corresponding comments. I will now call the meeting to order. Tracy, do you have roll taken care of?
I do. We now have four people.
Michelle's on time.
Hi, Michelle.
Excellent. So we have a quorum then. Perfect. Go to item number two, public comment. Is there any public comment?
The line is not out the door.
We're good. One of these days, there's got to be someone with some public comment. We'll move to item number three, approval of the meetings from the June 3rd, 2024 meeting. Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the June 3rd?
Wow, I must have the wrong minutes on there. January 7th.
January 7th rather than June 3rd.
Yeah.
Yeah,
sorry, I have the wrong date on there for
it. So are there any approval of the minutes from the January 27th meeting? Are there any additions or corrections to the minutes of the January 27th
meeting? Jim Peckham, I move to accept.
Your motion, do I hear a second?
Michelle Joy, I second.
Alright. Any further discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The meeting minutes are approved. Moving on to agenda item number four. Dr. Delphi will provide college updates. This item is for information only.
So good afternoon, everybody. If I could, if you humor me for a second, because this is the first time we've used the technology in the room. I know we have some people in the room here and you can hear me okay, but Michelle and Sean and Natalie, you guys hear me okay? Just nod, because I'm looking at you on the screen, because we have one of those owl things and it freaks me out to be looking at it. I'm like doing this, you know? So I'm going to keep that tone. If you can't hear me, just chime in, and because I don't want to be screaming at everybody in the room here. We are conducting this meeting in the Link, which is our career and employer services area. It is the old bookstore. I'll yield a little bit of my time at the end to have Nikki fill you in on the event that we're having to honor this in 2 days. You're more than welcome to attend. She also has some other information. But the reason we called it the Link is that we are trying to link students to employers and vice versa. We did not have, we're the only campus in Enchi that does not have a career center. So we are in the conference room. Those of you who are here can take a quick tour after. It's not a huge area, but it's one of the newer areas we've got on campus. We will do a ribbon cutting or grand opening on Thursday, and then probably kick into full speed as we go into fall. It's taken, I honestly think it's taken 4 years to get this done. It started during the pandemic because the bookstore contract changed and we wanted to renovate it because the bookstore we were using does not have they don't have an on-site, they were just an online-only vendor, so the space became available. And then it was an absolute Frankenstein of design and things that we found in the walls. And so it just got done, plus Nikki raised quite a bit of funds for us to make it done. We did this with our own resources. And so we'll come back to that, but that's where we're sitting today. And so a lot going on. We shifting gears, and I know a couple of the members who are not here are probably at the legislature. We had our budget closing last week on Friday for the college, for all of Enchi. It's an early closing. As you probably heard in the economic waves, the funding is not, the revenue for the state is not great. It's not horrible, but it's not great. For that reason, there's a number of things that were closed on Friday. And again, they can reopen our budget. It's not over till it's over, but they did fund us for a number of things that we were hoping for, which includes caseload growth. There's a small institution factor, which is something that the two small schools get on top of the regular formula. But they didn't fund a number of things yet. They could still fund them by the end of the session, which includes just a couple highlights would be our the continuation of the nursing money we got to expand nursing that we've been using for faculty salaries. It amounts to $500,000 a year for us for each of 2 years, so $1 million over the biennium. We're hoping that that comes back into play. They also did not fund any capital works projects, and our project, which is the cafeteria space that is in this building, which is the last piece of this building that needs to be renovated and fixed, was a $1.5 million ask, and that was not funded. And that is number one, not only on our list, but it's number one on all of ENGIE, and it was not funded. I fully expect that some projects across the state will get funded by the end, and we're pushing for ours, but a lot of that money tends to not come to smaller schools. And so as we move forward into the summer, we want to look at how we can renovate that cafeteria space, which is adjacent to the link where we are now. This has always been a student area where they come, you can get food, and you can sit down, and that's the kind of the idea. But we need to renovate that space for one reason or another, so we're hoping to do that. And since the last time, our last meeting was in January, we did have our accreditation visit. The way accreditation works is they send a team every 7 years to come and visit the campus after we prepare a report. I shared that last time. We did get a number of commendations and recommendations, and in just a second, I'm going to put those up on screen just so you can glance at them. For what it's worth, we're in a really good place, but the actual accreditation report, the recommendations, the things we have to work on, nothing drastic there, but it is not official until I go with our liaison officer up to Seattle this summer to meet with the full commission and have them basically say they accept the report, and we can go up there and argue pieces of it. We're not seeing anything that we need to argue, but there's a couple that we might want a little bit of clarification on. But once that's all said and done, then in the fall we start our 7-year cycle again. I know we're just going as business as usual. I know the Trump administration has created an executive order on accreditation, so we don't know what that means, but we'll keep going until Northwest tells us something different. It is a continual improvement process. It's an audit of our programs. It's accountability so that students who take classes here can transfer to other institutions that are accredited, and the accredits carry over, they transfer, everything kind of talks the same language. That's the benefit of accreditation. But we're on a 7-year cycle. It starts over July 1. We sign off on our report. We do a 3-year report, a 6-year report, and a 7-year report. You do the math, that's 2032, and we'll go from there unless something big changes. So those are my updates. I'm gonna let Nikki talk about, if you could just give just a high level about the event and the magazine you brought, and then I'm gonna come back if I could, Tracy, and I'm gonna show them the slides I've got.
Okay,
because I need some feedback on that. So Nikki,
sure.
If you wanna.
Yeah, so this area, the link, the Career Center, will have a grand opening on this coming Thursday from 4 to 6:30. Everyone is invited. We're going to have a taco truck and some just different literature on the space. Kyle's going to do a little speech, and we'll do a ribbon cutting, and it should be a lot of fun. You'll be able to meet the personnel that are managing the space and just learn a little bit more about how you can leverage it.
So kind of a private event of sorts, or is it a chamber event? Or
no, it's just a
just
we didn't do
a
C chamber,
yeah.
Just us.
Although I think that Ronnie's coming.
Yeah, I just haven't seen an email on it.
We chose not to like put out a giant announcement because often that gets the city involved and not in us.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So then is there anything else in the link?
You might want to mention, can you mention the donors?
So we had donations from Pennington Foundation, NV Energy Foundation, and Redfield Foundation to create about, I believe, 3/4 of the funding needed for this, and then the college funded the rest.
And so on this piece, the programming that's in this place, whether it's an open place for students to congregate, not a student center, but like another place for them to congregate,
or the programming that goes behind it, whether it's a resume day or whether it's a somebody comes in and wants to hire somebody, so they set up a table, orientation, all of that will be more outlined as we go into the next academic year, because we're already at the end of the academic year. Go ahead.
Okay, so that's on the link. I also brought our scholarship magazine, which was just published about a week ago. It lists all the scholarships that our foundation produces, and each of one of the donors, it tells stories about the college. It's just a good way to learn about the college. And we have a digital version too, so I'll send it out to everyone after this meeting.
Okay.
And then lastly, I just want to let you know that we've got Reach for the Stars is August 2nd, I just want to make sure it's on everyone's calendar. We're in auction item collection mode and sponsorship rounding up mode also. So thank you, Michelle, for your sponsorship for the event. If anybody wants to get involved or participate in any way, just let me know.
Thank you, Nikki. So I like how Nikki's thinking ahead to August. I don't even know what's happening tomorrow. But the link is on Thursday. We have the Performing Arts the musical theater is doing Sound of Music this weekend's opening weekend. For those of you who haven't seen an invite or haven't seen the press releases on it, May 19th is our commencement down at Mills Park. If you're interested in coming, please let us know, because we can get you some seating. VIP seating, and then we go into summer, and then the Reach for the Stars on August 2nd. So it's all of a sudden Fast and Furious at the end of the semester here. So
also Sound of Music. I don't think.
Yeah, I just mentioned that.
Oh,
yeah.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, the opening weekend. I think it's two weekends or three. Is it?
It's
two,
three weekends. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you, Nikki. So if we could, then I want to talk through some more updates. Can we share that screen? I just changed it, by the way. I put up a screen on the accreditation. It does, huh?
Nope.
Can I log in and share? Let's see if I can log in. I don't want to get like a squealing noise or something. Does that happen? I'm going to freak you all out by having multiple cameras going, even more so much. Okay. So let me see here. So if I do that. Okay.
Oh, good job.
So. Can you all hear me? Can they
yep.
Okay, thanks. Because I got to shut my volume off. So I want to show you, there's my initiative. Let's go back. I'm backing up just a little bit. So accreditation. So these are the accommodations. And I can share this out, included in the minutes. I'm looking to see if I can do a bigger picture. There we go. They give us accommodations. And I think we can read through these. It's not important that we go through all of them. But this is how they word it at the end of the report. It's a 15-page report. These are the accommodations they gave us. But they commended us on a number of things: well-developed faculty-led course-level assessment, annual planning process, comprehensive initiated each year. These are things that they require, and so they're commending us for the way that we do it. They commend us for a mission, specific pathways to students, creating a clear, meaningful, supportive tenure process. That's one of the pieces in there. Student-centeredness, students are respected, have a significant say in institutional decisions, and then investment in student leadership, because we have done an investment in student leadership, not necessarily dollars, but we've spent a lot of time, well, we do invest some dollars, but we spend a lot of time helping our students understand the governance process within our state board and within the college. And so these are the accommodations. Like I said, I'll have Tracy include this with the minutes. As we go into the recommendations, I don't know why it's not changing on that screen. Can you guys, Natalie, I'm gonna look, I can see your thing. Can you see recommendations?
No, I can see commendations.
Okay, thank you. Let me just do it this way.
Oh, no. Oh.
Perfect.
Yeah, now I can.
I'm gonna use the sidebar. So the recommendations they have are things that we need to address. And so there's a lot of things on here that are kind of like the first one, develop clear and consistent data definitions. That means that we are counting things clearly on one side, but there may be different definitions between how academics talks about students and student services. So that's a definitional thing. The second one, they recommend that we develop effective faculty-led system to assess the quality of our program learning outcomes. And this is a lot of academic speak, which is what we do all day because we are an academic institution, but we have very good student learning outcomes, but our program outcomes are not as clearly defined as they could be. And so we will work on that. The third one is about a licensure and certification, how we talk about that to students, telling them exactly if you take a CNA class, it leads to this state test. So there's some informational pieces there that need to be connected. The fourth one has to do with the website and the catalog. And Nikki's group has done a great job implementing the new website over the last 2 years. But what happens when you do a complete website reboot, and I forgot, Nikki, it was 2 years ago, wasn't it?
Two years ago.
What happens is that we create a new framework using new software for everything web-related, which is our number one marketing tool. And then we depend on all of the campus departments to feed in and check their information. And some have not done that. And so we want to go in and make sure that it's clear because that's our biggest marketing tool. And then the fifth one they're addressing here, we do have a faculty member on staff who serves as a regent on our board. And the system currently does not have a conflict of interest policy that gives which lane to stay in based on if an elected official is one of our employees. So this is actually specific to us, but it's also more of a system approach. So that, Natalie, would probably land on your desk. Because the system and the Board of Regents has to tease that one out. And so there's not, of the five recommendations we have, I've been an evaluator. I know this is a lot of deep dive on accreditation, but this is kind of, these are the things we need to look at as we go into the next cycle and fix, because they will come back. None of these have they said, we want to check on it sooner than the year three report. So it's not a drastic thing. We don't have to worry about a losing accreditation or anything like that. It's just things that we have to work on. And so with that, as I've kind of told you, they did commend us on our planning every year. And part of what I've done with the planning is every May, right around this time, I say, this is what we're going to, I talk to the campus, I talk to the IAC, I talk to our Senates, and I say, this is what we're going to do next academic year. And it's been a little bit more extensive past years, but this coming year, these are the initiatives I'm going to put in place. And you guys are actually seeing this for the first time. I'm talking to our college leadership groups this week, and we'll probably do an all-campus forum before graduation, which means we have to do it next week, just a Zoom meeting, just to say, hey, when we come back in August, these are the items that we want to focus on. And so I'm sharing it all with you. If you have feedback, that's great. One of the things, though, that I will need this group to help with as we go forward into the next year is to help provide input to our new strategic plan. We currently do not have our strategic plan expires in 2025. So it went 2018 to 2025. It matches our accreditation cycle. We will have to go in and look at the strategic plan, update as needed, because there's a lot of changes since 2018, as you can imagine. So the big thing that I want to do over the next year, which is really the fall semester, is the strategic plan and creating a new strategic plan, updating it. I have my own thoughts on what it looks like. I don't want a very extensive binder or digital binder that sits in somebody's computer or on the shelf, as we used to say. I want something that's more of an action plan. We will probably contract out to have that done. If any of you know somebody who does this work, that would be helpful if you could shoot us the name, because I'd like to have somebody from the outside come in and facilitate so that we get an unbiased moderator to help us discuss this. If I walk into a room, you can only imagine. If I say this is a good idea, a lot of people nod their heads one way or the other, just to agree or not agree. But if somebody from the outside comes in, we can get a real honest look. So our number one thing that we'll work on next year is creating a new strategic plan. The accreditation feedback that I just shared with you, we will work on it as an example there as a bullet, but we will work on all five of those recommendations to start the ball rolling on making sure that we are addressing the accreditation thing. The last thing we want to do is wait until year six to talk about the items they gave us this year, because it'll be last minute. We have to put some things in motion. We also want to continue to talk about enrollment. We are doing very well. We are up 22% in the last 5 years. And the big spike on that was in FY24 when we went up 17% in 1 year. A lot of that is high school students. Most of that is high school students. And so we want to continue to look at adult enrollment and retention. And that's why that's on there. And that is actually agenda item 5, which I'm blending together, my 4 and 5. And then the last thing is campus upgrades. And I wanted, the last bullet there is the Aspen Cafe area that I mentioned. We need to really do something with that. I don't know what level we'll be able to do depending on the funding that's available. And then coming up from the bottom of that list, the Fallon Douglas nursing expansions, those are already in motion. The funding, knock on wood, has been secured from the federal appropriation process 2 years ago. We'll continue to work on those two campuses for the upgrade. And then we're doing other things around technology, which includes we are switching our campus from a Google campus to a Microsoft campus for multiple reasons. Number one being that Microsoft offers more protection when it comes to cybersecurity, and that was a recommendation from our cybersecurity group, which we also buy cybersecurity insurance, all the things related to that. So the four initiatives that I want to work on with the campus over the next year are the four big buckets you see there: strategic plan, enrollment, accreditation, feedback, the items they gave us, and then the campus upgrades. And so with that, I'll stop real quick and ask if there's any questions, comments. Did all that make sense? I know you guys got a deep dive on accreditation without seeing the full report, but we're not actually able to share it out externally right now until it's blessed this summer. But I'll pause. Any comments or questions?
Okay, Kyle, this is Michelle. When you talk about the Microsoft transition, are you guys moving to O365?
Yes.
As part of that as well? We have been going through that transition. We've been Microsoft, but we've made the transition slowly onto O365. So I mean, you guys have a great IT team. But I just extend the offer that we're happy to share any lessons that we've learned, where we are in our process. I mean, it's a multi-year, multi-phase rollout that we're doing, but I think we definitely learned some things early on as we were trying to undertake this work.
Okay, yeah, I appreciate that. We have actually contracted it out. I don't know if you did the same. We started in November, December, and we will actually switch everything over May 20th of this year. And the reason we are moving it so fast is because Google, because you had Microsoft before, but Google, which has been free, is going to start charging. And as we get, we also, unfortunately, a year ago, launched student email accounts, which we never had. And so we didn't want to get too far out on the student emails on Google and then have to switch everything over, so we've rapid accelerated it. But I appreciate that. I'll share it with our IT people. But the other thing I was going to ask you too, Michelle, if your cafeteria services are looking for a side job, we can use it on the campus. I know we've talked about it. If there's any partnership there and you want to connect us, that would be great. You have an awesome place over there. But
I'll make a follow-up note on that. We kind of have a revolving door right now in finding cooks and staffing, and that's probably one of our harder to fill areas. It's just a lot of turnover within that area. But do you want them to reach out to you, Kyle?
Yeah, if they can reach out to me or Tracy, it would be great. We'll talk about it. The reason we don't have a cafe, and that's one of the initiatives, is because we just don't have a critical mass of students on campus, and a lot of the faculty and staff say we need a cafe, and then when we open the cafe, it's everybody's brown bagging. We couldn't make trucks work, but I want to do something, and I don't know what that something is. So because you're right down the street, if there's something there, if not, we'll look at something else.
And I wonder even if we can share how we've structured the little cafe that we have at the old hospital, because it's very we don't have very many employees over there. Granted, part of it is they're providing food for the patients that we have over there, but they do run an actual small cafe for lunch. And some of the local neighbors come in for lunch and stuff, but it's a really small volume. So there might be some things that we could share on how they structured that to be able to make it work.
That'd be great. Thanks. I appreciate it.
This is Jim Peckham. I had a question on page 2. You talked about programs. And what's the program? How does that differentiate from coursework or whatever?
So we,
whatever it's not.
Yeah, so all of our courses have what's called student learning outcomes in them. They have to be defined. This is what students will learn in this class. That way, if it matches other schools, if it's an English 101, it matches what we do in the high school. The program level piece of the outcomes is there, but it needs some polishing and some may be missing. That's if you go through a 2-year construction management program, these are the outcomes, these are the skills.
Okay.
That is somewhat defined. I think it's more defined than they say, but they found a few that need to be cleaned up. And so we want to make sure that we don't only have the class level outcomes, but we also have the program level outcomes clearly defined. And one of the things that accreditation is pretty, not strict on, but pretty consistent on over the years is if you have a program, we do program reviews. We're required to do program reviews every 5 years where we go in and do an audit of the program. And if for some reason you hired somebody in construction, I'm using construction only as an example, it's not a program that's in danger, but, and you said, you know, the students are not quite getting all the skills we need, then that feedback should be put back into the program to change the outcomes to match the industry need, and it's a circle. And some of that closing the loop is what they always catch and say, we're not doing that. And we do that through the advisory committees. I think there's a meeting on Thursday. So when employers show up and say, we need somebody that can do this, this, and this, and if the outcome of the program isn't those three things, then we need to make an adjustment, and we need to document that we made an adjustment. So that's what that is.
Great.
And I'll mention one more thing on enrollment. We are not trying to restrict access. We're not trying to limit enrollment, but we found ourselves way out ahead of, in fall of 23, we were hoping to get 3,800 students and we ended up with 4,400. That's a pretty big increase. That's a 17% increase. And with that comes more administrative duties or more administrative burden because all of those additional students hit the campus at the same rate, whether they're full-time or part-time, and most of them are part-time. And so when advising, all of a sudden, our ratios in advising, for example, went from 350 to 1, which is the board, not required, but the board preferred practice, and that one of the preferred best practices across the country is a 350 to 1 advising ratio, which is still a lot of students per advisor, but they'd all come in the same day. We skewed immediately up to 500, 550 to 1. But I can't hire new advisors because the funding doesn't come in until after this legislative session. So it puts a strain on our systems. Faculty who have classes, they don't like to hear me necessarily say this, but if you have a class that's capacity 20 and you've got 13, you can probably take 2 or 3 more, that's the idea. But when 2 or 3 more students try to hit advising, admissions and records, the services, it's pretty stressful. So we're trying to maintain a current level, but I also want to diversify out of so many high school without turning the high schools away. We will probably start turning some new away if they show up and try to get more of the non-high school students, which are the working adults, because that's we're at 42% high school students were too far into that bucket. And if you've read the news, the demographic cliff will hit us where high school populations in this country are going down. The Northeast is going down 20 to 30% high school students. Texas is up, Florida will be up a few percentage points. Nevada is showing to go down a couple percentage points on high school students further out than the rest of the country. And when that happens, when there's less high school students, if we have that much in that enrollment bucket, it'll go down. But other major universities in this country will start poaching students out of our own high schools. That's why dual enrollment's important, but we also want to make sure that we balance it out with working adults and train the workforce. We've had that conversation before, and I think that's my item 5. There's nothing there unless we have a conversation, because I know we've done some work with different groups. We're looking at the Mark IV. We're expanding out to Fernley. We're putting a staff member part time out in the Dieter building out there, so that we can have some boots on the ground to kind of get a feel for what's needed out there to expand in Fernley. Because if there's people to be trained, likely it's going to be by the industrial complex, industrial park.
Move on to 5?
Well, I think I kind of did 5, but yeah, we can move on to 5, but yeah. So 5 is non-high school populations, and again, this is just a driver for if there's, you know, advice, context, if you hear something, if you're ambassadors out there, Michelle, I know we talked to the hospital. I don't know if we got anything off the ground, but we did get our CNA program back, just so you know. I went in front of the state board and argued it, so our CNA program will be back. That is a working adult healthcare related field. Jim, I don't know if we're doing anything with FISH yet, but we had talked about possibly going down there and doing our the pre-college programs, like the high school equivalency. So if anything comes up and you want to start reconnecting on that, let me know. And we've done, like I mentioned, the Fernley Project, we were trying to just see where the populations are that need some sort of training. It's just so tricky now because everything's dwindled or everybody's working one of the two. So that's kind of an open topic, but if anyone has any comments, and Natalie, I don't know if you want to throw anything in from the workforce part or not, chime in and appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me. So one of the things we've been working on at the system level in workforce development is a program demand gap analysis. And so we have the first piece of that done where we've looked at different sectors and demand by region and state overall. And it's a lot of what I think pretty intuitive to what we all know is some of our needs. But our next step is now looking at where are we graduating students, where are we maybe not focusing enough of our attention and resources and areas where we could potentially shift that. So really looking forward to what that next step looks like in that report, and we should likely see that coming through. We're hoping for the June board meeting, but it's coming up so quickly, I'm not sure if we're gonna make it to that or if it's going to be on the next workforce committee off-cycle meeting, which would likely be in early July. But I'll keep folks at WNC posted, definitely share out to you all because we'd love feedback on that too. One of the other big areas that we're really focused on this next year is going to be in credit for prior learning. So focused on some of those adult students, returning students, potential students we haven't really tapped into as a system. And so being a bit better about valuing credit and learning that has happened outside of our traditional ENCHI spaces, and what that looks like, whether it's certifications, work experience, streamlining military credit and other types of test credit that have come in, and so that when students are not only coming into an ENCHI institution, we can be very student-centered in providing the credit for that learning that they have achieved, but also if they do end up transferring, that credit is also worded in a similar fashion to another ENCHI institution. So, not only is it kind of building out the infrastructure for credit for prior learning, but also streamlining across our ENCHI institution. So a bit twofold there, but a big project, but I think it's going to be hugely impactful for our students.
Thank you, Natalie. We appreciate the work the system's doing. I probably should have mentioned as well, one of the reasons we did not boogie to get a new strategic plan right away is because the system has done a new outline for strategic plan, hired a new chancellor, you're doing the workforce report. I think all of that higher level stuff, once that clicks into place, is a better time for us to do our strategic plan. It actually flows pretty well. So I'm looking forward to that workforce one because that'll help us out a little bit.
No, I'm super excited for it too. So you'll get it as soon as I get the final report. So we should have that sooner than the meeting. But so I'll share that. But yeah, having a new chancellor coming on board starting on June 1st, we're really excited about that. And I think a big focus on workforce development and also where our community colleges can really thrive in some of the changing environments that's happening. So I think there's a lot of opportunity to come, and anywhere we can align, I am all for that. So if you need that system level help from my end on the strategic plan that you're working on, I'm always available for that too.
Appreciate it. The credit for prior learning is a discussion that's been going on, but that's it's not just transferring in credits. It's as if somebody had like a skill set that we can basically comp them out of classes. So if somebody came in from the military with a little bit of training, we do this now, but it's the training from the military that doesn't necessarily have credits attached to it, but we can assign credits to it so they can get through their program faster. I hope I did that right, Natalie. I'm trying to remember. I haven't dealt with it in a while, and I know you've got an advising background, but.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many opportunities there. I mean, we have a lot of even partners that are training students in different ways across our communities that we could really value that credit and say, hey, instead of starting over, you've already learned the competencies and some of those student outcomes that Kyle was mentioning earlier. You know, you've hit these competencies, we can award that credit, so we want you to continue and not have to start over. So I think that's also one of those big benefits.
That'll get them in the pipeline. So so we'll continue that discussion. I mean, we're having that discussion for the next year. I mean, that's always about what populations. One of our challenges, liabilities at WNC is the dual enrollment genie is out of the bottle, and we do it so well that people keep calling us, but we have got to not have that many students that if something, like when the demographic cliff comes, the enrollment will come down. We're not there yet. Some schools in this country have 50%, we're at 43%. Other schools have 20%. I would feel more comfortable at about a 35% range. That doesn't mean we're gonna throw out 8% of students at dual enrollment, but when a school calls us that we're not already a partner with, we're probably gonna have to send them elsewhere just to not have so many. But we'll see when we get there. It's pretty much, I think it's plateaued, so I feel better, but it's that workforce piece, that non-high school student, the work, the adult, the new economy, all the things that that's where we need to focus, and naturally we'll build more numbers there. So with that, I think I'm done with my pieces. So if there's no more questions.
Kyle, I'd just like to thank you. This is Michelle Joy. I just want to thank you for all your work on the CNA program piece, because that's going to be huge. We've been working with Carson High for medical assistance. And so there's 19 students that are going to be graduating here in the next few weeks. And obviously the goal is, if we can get them started in high school working as MAs in our clinics, then they'll look at CNA, potentially then to RN, and so just continuing to build that pipeline. But that CNA component here locally is just so critical to helping with that pipeline.
Good.
And so
thank you, Michelle.
Thank you for that, all the work on that.
Thanks. And for those of you who are not familiar with the situation, last year we ran into an issue because NRS requires an 80% pass rate, and we had several situations where our cohorts had not made that 80% pass rate. And at one time it was as simple as we only had 4 students testing for the exam, and one of them didn't make it, and that puts us at 75%. And so they basically said, you can't do it anymore until you rebuild it, and we've rebuilt the program. And they passed it through in March. And it's taking, the solution is found within taking students who are also, I believe it's also the nursing students who were not testing, that are highest caliber students, they weren't testing, but they will be testing so that the numbers work in our favor. But like you said, being able to offer it, it's a pipeline, especially for those high school kids.
Yeah, so. And especially, because I think it was that the CNA program has, for a while there, was the prerequisite to get into the RN program. And so then they weren't doing the certification piece and not even really working as CNAs.
Yeah.
So,
good. Okay.
All right. We'll move on to item 6, remarks from the chair. Only comment is great to have the accreditation behind you, I imagine. And looks like some relatively easy things to address, so that's fantastic. Nice work. Item number 7, are there any remarks from WNC IAC members?
I have a question. Nevada Corrections coursework and whatnot that has been going on there, is that improving, expanding, retracting?
So
we've tried to work with them, it's
tough.
A challenge.
The prison education program is still funded, and it did get approved with our funding package last week, but not the increases we asked for, so it'll be kind of business as usual. It has become more and more difficult to work because of the turnovers with the DOC, so we still have the program in there. My understanding is we've got maybe two prisoners that are being released that have workforce training that they'll use in the community. So once that's public, that's a win, because it's a success story. Because now we have students progress through programs while they're in prison, but until they get let out, they're not getting a job, right? But the idea is that they get the job when they get out, and then they're not they don't end up back in prison, end up in your place, or, you know, they're able to start another version of their life. And so it's funded at the same level. We'll go into the next 2 years with it, doing what we can. We have auto welding, business, math, English classes in the prison.
Yeah, so auto and welding are the ones that we're most interested in.
Are you hiring people, or just
I've got people that want to hire them as interns of sorts, so that they can then finish the rest of their coursework.
Yeah.
And so then we can provide them housing, and we have talked about trying to experiment, knowing, according to corrections, they suggest if we do housing, we need to have multiple people there, you know, three or four people coming out of the corrections education thing, because they need somebody to relate to and talk to, the average person that they're going to, you know, visit with at the swing set is not going to have the corrections experience. And so they said to improve the success rate of people getting through, they just need people to be able to go, wow, this is really different from when I went in. And,
yeah.
You know, just kind of debrief each other as they transition.
Yeah, it's a culture shock. Yeah. Tracy, can we make a note to have Deb connect with us, and then we'll connect Deb with Jim?
I hear that Campani Auto Group hired one of the graduates.
Yeah, they've been wanting to.
Yeah.
I've been working with Dana to try and
Numbers coming out are small, but that's the only thing.
Yeah.
It's so tough to predict, and they're all different. So that actually, you know, didn't somebody tell me we had somebody? No, is this a dream I had? Is somebody that wants to stay in because they want to finish the program? No.
Okay, sometimes they have to stay in if they can't find housing.
Yeah,
if they can't,
that might be what
a lot of times someone gets a 3 to 5 sentence and then get out in 3 if they can get housing. But when there's no housing available, they got to stay until the 5, and then they get released with a bus ticket and $20 and good luck.
Well, we'll connect on that, because we'll see what because it's a small group. It's 78 students, I think. So where they are in the cycle, and they're not all eligible for parole. I mean, we've got, just so everybody knows, our prison education program has everybody in there from the 3 to 5s to the lifers. And the program offers the classes for everyone. The scholarships, Nikki's got some on the private side, the state has funded some. The priority is to give it to students who will get out. And then if they have work that they do in the prison and they generate money into their account, or their family can pay for it for the others. Because there is some pushback from the state that we shouldn't be educating people that aren't coming out to work. I think there's priorities there, but I think educating everybody is important. If nothing else, helps for a better climate on the inside. And there have been times where we've tried to say, if we give somebody a 2-year degree in welding in the prison, they can help with our welding classes because they're more readily available than us sending an instructor in for time on stick with the students in that program. So there's workable solutions there, but the funding does go first to the ones that are coming out. So we track that, so we know, but it's taken forever to get an auto student out, to get them trained and then out, so.
And again, we've got access to HUD typically right now. Everybody's kind of locked up.
Yeah,
but, you know, so we basically provide free rent for them if we go through the HUD vouchers and get them into some of these car dealerships where they can start changing oil until they get ASC certified and become a mechanic and start making, you know, whatever, 80, 90 grand.
Wow.
So it's much better than making tacos.
Yeah. Well, and also, again, the end game is not ending up back in there.
Yeah.
So, you know, out of your place, on their own, doing the right things and starting, you know, version 2. So,
yeah.
Well, yeah, we'll follow up on that, Jim. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up.
I'll just add, this is Michelle, a comment. Kyle, I just want to thank you for your visibility in the community and representing WNC. Actually, both you and Nikki, I'm not really, really consistent all the time on social media, but between LinkedIn and Facebook and the posts, the marketing posts are great, and I think you guys are doing an awesome job.
Yeah,
If there's a social media compliment for me, it has to go to Nikki and her crew because it's not me doing it. I do my own LinkedIn every now and then, but I've drifted off. And so thank you, Michelle.
I'm the same way, but every time I'm on, there's something related to WNC that pops up, which I think is great.
That's our visibility. This past year, you might remember, we had four buckets of top, mm-hmm. four areas, and the one was the visibility. And so we will keep doing that, even though it's not an initiative per se, but that's just, it's become regular, and that's how we have to just stay out there. So thank you.
Any other comments from IAC members? All right. Move on to item number 8, new business for information only. Does anyone have any new business?
If I could offer a comment here, if any members would like a topic on here, we tend to do the normal agenda with updates. But if we wanted to deep dive on anything, prison ed program, for example, we can bring in Deb Conrad.
Mm-hmm.
If you're interested in that, that's just throw it out new business or let us know, because I know I like to talk all day, but we can have an expert come in on a certain topic if that's the case. So I don't know if anyone has anything else to top of their mind today. Okay.
All right. Fantastic. We'll go to item number 9, public comment. I don't think there's any public comment.
No line out the door.
We're no. Yeah. So
we're hidden. They can't find us.
Yeah.
We're in a bunker.
Hearing none, the meeting is adjourned.
Thank you, everybody. Those of you on Zoom, thanks for attending. At some point, we've got to get you in the center here. We'll make sure you get an invite for Thursday and for the commencement. And then we appreciate it. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks, everyone. Have a good day.
Bye.
There's a Builders Alliance event tomorrow afternoon, too.
That's Thursday.
No, that's Thursday, too.
So this event's Thursday, that event's Thursday. I'm doing the ribbon cutting here. I'm going down there.
We'll
bounce back and forth. I don't think we're actually doing a ribbon cutting, are we?
No, we actually did order some giant scissors.
Oh, did we? Oh,
yeah.
Good, okay.
What time is the ribbon cutting kind of slated for?
Probably around 4:30.
I think 4:30
at the
latest.
Oh, good, so it's early.
Yeah.
You could do both. Yeah,
Clifford, there'll be less alcohol here than...
Yeah, so I can swing by here first. Yeah,
there'll be no alcohol here. Sorry, Jim.
And then hop on your second side.
Well... Hand sanitizer, there'll be some of that.
Oh.
But that's all the alcohol that'll be on campus, I understand.
All right, so 4:30 here.
Just trying to help him with his priorities.
Yeah, well, I tell you, I'm headed down there.
Builders Alliance by 5, yeah.
Cliff says it starts at 5, or is it, it goes
I
to
think
7?
It starts at, 4 to 7 or something, yeah. So, all right, so that's perfect, yeah. The 4:30 ribbon cutting gives plenty of times right down the street.